This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follows. Truck drivers are becoming endangered or have been added to the endangered species list. The Internet of Things and the looming security invasion. Uber versus Google. We're going to talk Pawn to Own conference and how victims fell like dominoes. $3.4 million missile to shoot down a $200 drone. We'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about the reemergence of the laptop bricking USB stick that has gotten much, much worse. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1185 of the Geek News Center podcast for Thursday, March 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. Of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, I want to welcome you to the show. Got a great lineup for you tonight. Thanks for all the new listeners who are joining the show for the very first time. And if you're a longtime listener or viewer of the show, part of the Ohana, I want to welcome you back. But I got a great stack of stuff to go over. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, all we really need you to do to get connected and become part of the Ohana is to visit geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content on the website, and of course, subscribe to the show. You can do that right on the sidebar by subscribing via Android, iTunes, email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or via an RSS feed. If you don't know what any of that means, so you just click the more subscribe options. That'll get you connected up. Also, scroll down the page a little bit further, find the important link section. You're going to find a link to the newsletter. Get signed up for the newsletter. Basically, I will email the Ohana immediately following the show. It has all the articles and basically all the links to all the articles that I'm going to talk about tonight during the show. So it's real important that you get hooked up with the team here, and that way we can basically welcome you to the Ohana. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com and be asked to be added to the Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry.com, or tell Google Home, okay, and then that name, play the podcast Geek News Central, and that'll get Google Home to start playing the latest edition of the show. We don't want you to forget about our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by my GNC team. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast in the actual living podcasting space, and that's GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with us since July. I'm thinking about my anniversary month, July of 2005, and they've been with us here for all those years. But we continue to have great deals available for you over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Definitely check out the March codes, which are the same as the February codes. Of course, you can save 30% on new product purchases. You can get a .com for 99 cents. You can get a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year. So that's $12 for an economy hosting account. Plus, again, that free domain. Or you can get a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting site first year with a free domain. So $12 gets you in there to get started. If you're a business owner, the GoDaddy website builder is available as well for something for you to look at. But again, all those codes should be shared with your friends, family members, people that you know, coworkers. Don't write it on the bathroom wall, but we want you to share my codes everywhere possible that is legal to do so. And again, point them towards the website, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's greatly appreciated when you do that. Matter of fact, your sharing of my link is almost the equivalent of doing a cash donation to the show. It really helps from a variety of standpoints, and we definitely want you to do that. Don't go up there and start spamming a bunch of sites. That's not what I'm asking you to do, but definitely share my codes with your family and friends, and that'll help the show out a great, great deal. Continue to build the base and help us keep the lights on. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, of course, and their continued support of this show. And I want you to continue to check out their products and services, which, you know, are incredible, incredible lineup of products and services that really one-stop shop for everything. Matter of fact, this afternoon, I used their business mailing application to send out our email to the folks at blueberry.com, all our newsletter folks, 26,000 some emails we sent and got them delivered. So it's one of the products you can use over at GoDaddy. So it's a great lineup of services for business owners and so forth. But anyway, we want to thank again GoDaddy for being a sponsor, and definitely check all those products and services out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So just to get in my little bit of a list here, stack of stuff I've got going on. One thing that I decided, or my team decided, when we were in Orlando doing our annual retreat or planning session for what we are going to do for our business this year and some of the expansion stuff, also was to develop some new marketing angles and develop another show over at blueberry.com. So this morning at a very, very early 5 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, Mike Dell, who is our lead support rep at Blueberry, him and I recorded a new podcast today, and it's going to be a bi-weekly, every other week, podcast called Your Podcast. So that'll be released tomorrow, brand new show, and it's going to be a little bit different than any other thing that we think that's going to be on the internet. It's as far as podcast goes, you're going to have two podcast veterans that are basically talking purely about how to build your show, how to build your audience, give a little bit of insight into what's going on in the space, talk about our tools, talk about the philosophy that I have, and really kind of bring this package together, real world examples on how podcasters can build their podcast. So looking forward to doing that series with Mike, and really try to figure out how I could slice it into my schedule. And we decided Thursdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Hawaiian. I'm up already anyway. We'll record that show, and then Mike's taking care of all the production, and we'll get it out. So looking forward to the launch of that show tomorrow, and it'll be every other week. You know, Mackenzie, our team member, she does the PowerPress podcast on opposite weeks. So every Friday there'll be a new podcast, and we actually may shift the publishing date to Monday. That hasn't been decided yet, but looking forward to getting some feedback by the podcasters out there that we're doing this. But more closer to home here, my son got in from the Big Island. He's been there since Monday, touring with his classmates, 8th grade trip, 4 days out of school, but they were getting educated by driving around in buses in the Big Island and visiting historical sites. And he's a pretty whipped camper tonight when my wife picked him up from the airport and rolled him home. And he came in and he said, "Hi, Dad." And he sat down on the couch, basically like almost immediately fell asleep. So he had a pretty big couple of days. But back to school for him tomorrow. And then, of course, Saturday will be another soccer day. I have to show you guys this. Those of you that are watching, at CES, they had a company there called Solidify, S-O-L-I-D-I-P-H-Y. And you stood inside it was basically a big camera, basically a 360 camera setup. And they took a picture of you, and then they made you could order an avatar action figure. And I look at this, I'm like, this doesn't look completely natural, but I have a, and I don't know if I can do, I wonder if another camera will work better. Let me try this camera. So, oh, let me switch it here. I don't know if I can get it without it. So anyway, it definitely shows off my gut, which, by the way, I'm working to reduce the size on. But in this action figure makes my head look like it's been shrunk. My head is definitely not the right size for the body. You know, I've got this, average body, but my head is like shrunk. I don't get it. The other proportions I think are good, but I said if my head is actually looks like this compared to the rest of my body, I am so screwed. You know, so anyways, it turned out pretty good. It had I was wearing a polo shirt, and you can't. It's got the GNC logo on, and then I was wearing an Apple Watch, so you can see the Apple Watch. And then we were wearing these red wristbands, and it was a broadcast band to get us into access areas late at night. And you can just—I know you can't see it on the camera for those of you who are watching, but it's—you can see the red wristband. So they did a pretty good job. I was wearing khaki pants and a black shirt, but I had my hair cut pretty short. I think I know what I look like bald now, and it's not necessarily pretty. But anyway, it definitely, they shrunk my head like, as Mike said, like a voodoo doctor. And it's funny, but you know, you never see the backside of yourself, right? You never really get a good look at it. And my wife has always said, you don't have any ass. And that's quite evident in this thing. You know, I'm just like, you could put me up against a wall, you know, and there would be no light of day because, you know, I have no butt. So, anyway, if you ever get to a place where they have these, it's pretty cool. I think I paid $60 for this to be made. I just couldn't resist getting one, but I look, and for those of you that are listening, I'll take a picture of this and I'll put it in the show notes tonight. And you guys can get a bit of a laugh, but I definitely look like I'm pregnant in this. So I always tell people that's my beer baby. But sadly, I invested in that many years ago, and I'm taking withdrawals out now by being on the cross trainer at the gym. But I'm about 8, 9, 10 pounds is where I'm at right now. So a little off track this week. It hasn't been a perfect week for being eating healthy. But anyway, that's that. So, you know, we're way beyond CES, and we're just a little over a month away from the National Association of Broadcaster show. This is a show that I go to that I get to kind of be a tourist while at the same time doing some coverage. I don't go too hot and heavy. I cover some stuff that I think is really cool, but I get to go through and talk with the vendors. And really, for me, it's more of a show that's truly for me and one that I like to go and geek out at all the gear and stuff that I can't afford. But it also gives me an insight and stuff that's happening and has given me ideas in the past for this show and a variety of different things. So I'll be flying out to Vegas on April 20, I'm leaving the Friday before, so Friday the 21st, I'll be out the entire week of the 24th and back with you on May 1st. So just from a future planning standpoint, that's what's going on for NAB. I am speaking at NAB this year. I'll be speaking at a session on Wednesday, a dedicated podcasting track. So I look forward to talking to the radio folks and broadcast folks at NAB for that. So one thing is the last thing I want to talk about before we get into the content, and this is more of a personal thing for the studio here. Many of you over the years have really complimented the chair that I have in the studio, for those of you that watch the show. And the chair is, it keeps sinking. The handles on it are busted up. The wheels are at the point that they need to be replaced. It's just, it's time. And I've had this chair 5 or 6 years. It was very expensive. It was a $500 or $600, maybe $700 chair when I bought it. So I figure have my butt in the seat, $100 a year probably was worth the investment. But it's time to change. I'm probably, you know, and if I don't get any good suggestions from the audience, I'm going to go right back and buy the same brand that I have now. But if you guys have bought a chair, a desk chair, a premium one, and remember, I spent a lot of time in the seat. If you guys have bought a premium desk chair, something that you absolutely love, let me know. Let me know and send me a link, geeknews@gmail.com, so that I can see the type of chair you've, you know, maybe I can be able to go somewhere and sit in one. But, you know, I haven't, it's been real hard to find something better than what I'm sitting in now for many, many years. And that's why I'm saying I'll probably go buy another one. This one here, I'll make it available to either donate it or, you know, maybe put on Craigslist or something. But it definitely, it's time for an update. It's at that point. But if you have something you bought, a premium desk chair, let me know. And I like them a little firm. I don't like it too squishy. So that gives you a little clue. All right, that's kind of it as far as what I have in my short stack of stuff to talk tonight. Hello, Michael. Hello, Rick. Hello, Marcus. Thanks for being on. And Marcus, thank you for using my code yesterday. Definitely appreciate that. That's the way it rock and rolls here. So when you can use my code like that to pick up a managed WordPress site for $12, can't beat it, right? All right, outstanding. Okay, so let me go ahead and I can close this. And those of you on YouTube, we're also at facebook.com/Cochran or live.geeknewscentral.com. So you can join us at either one of those locations. Let me bring up Chrome. And I know we've got a few truck drivers that listen to the show. And I know Trucker Tom listens to the show. And Tom, I don't know at what age you're going to retire. I know you and I are probably about the same age. But, and I know that you are doubtful whether or not self-driving trucks are going to be able to replace long-haul truckers. And believe me, we all should be very appreciative of the truck drivers on the road right now. Without them, we would not eat. We would not get our produce. We would not get the supplies into the stores. And many of you don't fully realize this, and maybe you do, and you've been listening to the show long enough, you should. Stores and businesses no longer have huge warehouses of inventory. Oftentimes, what you see on the floor of a business is what they have. And they may have a limited, very, very limited amount of inventory stuff in the back. And most of them work on a system that basically auto orders. They get too low, and Walmart's known for this. The shelf gets too low. It automatically kicks an order. They do RFID tracking, point of sale systems. You know, everything is tied together so that a manager can say, all right, I know in 3 days I'm going to be out of toothpaste. They put the order in with from the distribution center, and the next day they have a load of what they need, and the stockers put the stuff on the shelves, and that way stores don't run out. You know, we all pretty much know this, so that if, when there's like big snowstorms and the trucks can't roll, that's why when grocery stores are made a run on and people go in and buy, you know, all the food they possibly could need for the next month, for the next 3 days, that's why the shelves are bare. That's why it takes a few days for the grocery stores to recover, is because they have to basically bring stuff in from outlying warehouses or the actual source distribution center. So there's literally, and I think I read somewhere that there's 300,000 trucks on the road at any given time in the United States. And that number may even be higher. To me, it seems a little low, to be honest with you. based upon the consumption and everything else that goes on in the country, it seems like it's a low number. But anyway, let's just, you know, use the number that I saw in an article. And a lot of those trucks are going long distance. Some of them are short haul. Usually if you're on a highway and you look at a semi and they don't have a full sleeper, then they may be a cab with a, without a sleeper on it. Those are probably short haul day run trucks. But, you know, a lot of the long haul trucks have beautiful rigs and beautiful sleepers on them. And, you know, those trucks cost a lot of money. I mean, huge dollar signs. And they're only making money when they're rolling. So many drivers that are independent maybe will have a partner and they will tag team. You know, one driver will sleep while the other one's driving, but still, based upon the Department of Transportation's rules on driving, the truck still can't roll 24/7. And at the same time, the trucks roll into a distribution center and unload or whatever. Maybe they're waiting 5 hours for some place to open up to be able to back in and unload or get their load. You know, it's so that when the, as long as the trucks are moving, they're making cash. But when they're not, it's not good. So businesses that are have huge truck fleets, they want those trucks rolling as much as possible. They don't want to have a truck sitting still while the driver's sleeping. And these trucks are such high a value that adding $30,000-$40,000 worth of automation equipment to a truck is, you know, is not a big number. So I saw a video today, NVIDIA and PACCAR, P-A-C-C-A-R, and I don't know what, if that's what their story is here. And let me look and see if I can get the actual designation for P-A-C-A-R. It's a leading, okay, PACCAR is a leading global truck manufacturer. So they make developing solutions for autonomous vehicles. Well, anyway, they partnered up with Peterbilt and NVIDIA, and they've been driving a truck autonomously on a closed track doing testing. And I think if most truckers, most truck drivers, would watch this hour, I mean, this 1 minute and 15 second video, they will realize that the handwriting is on the wall. Now, it's not going to happen this year or next, but my prediction is 10 years, within 10 years, and I've said this before in this show, that the trucking industry and the drivers in those trucks are going to be unemployed. Well, they might be some drivers that they're going to use for short hauls, get in, you know, basically pick the truck off at this at the exit and drive it the next 20 miles to its destination. There might be an industry for that. But I think the days of long-haul trucking is going to come to an end. There's other car manufacturers that say by 2020, they're going to have level 5 autonomous vehicles that are 100% capable of driving on their own, taking people to and from a destination. It's obviously going to be in higher-end vehicles to begin with. But if the cars are going to be a level 5 autonomous within by 2020, which is, you know, that's just a few short years away, folks, then where are we going to be with trucks in 5 and 10 years? And with companies that have big fleets that want these trucks rolling as much as possible, and at the same time, not having to have a driver. Now, will the Department of Transportation let these trucks roll without a driver? Will there have to be a someone in the vehicle? Maybe that's the case. Maybe instead of only being able to drive X number of hours, maybe the truck will be able to drive X number of hours autonomous and X number of hours with the driver in control. Or corridors where maybe they are allowed for the next 2 hours to go to sleep. You just never know what rules are going to be forthcoming. And I know that many truck drivers are going to say, well, you're never going to replace the driver in, you know, rainy or hazardous conditions or trying to react to four-wheelers, the basically the cars and trucks that are driving down the highways with the professional drivers that do stupid things that often cause wrecks. But I think with time, this technology is going to get pretty good that maybe the computer will actually be faster than a human in trying to prevent an accident. But if you just watch the 1 minute and 15 second video that I have set up for you, it'll be in the show notes. I think the handwriting's on the wall here, and this will be a devastating impact. So, you know, what's that going to mean? Well, there's going to be some job shift into supporting those autonomous trucks, and I think that's the business I would want to be in. I think I would, if I was hedging my bets on where a business is going to be and a potential large business will be for the next 20 years, is I'd want to be a person that would be able to support these vehicles that maybe break down, need the tech tweaked, whatever it may be. I think I'd want to be in the business of the servicing of this technology, and be ahead of that as the industry matures. I might be wrong on this whole thing, but it just, the more news we hear and what I saw from this video, these self-driving trucks are a potential. Where will they get deployed first? Well, maybe they'll get deployed first out west where it's dry, you know, and that's where long straight runs maybe. Who knows? But I think in 10 years, it's going to be a much different landscape. Time will tell. But this pay car has a proof of concept vehicle. It's a level 4 already, and it's using the NVIDIA Drive PX2 platform with a neural network training fed by data of humans driving semi-trucks. So it learns from actual drivers. And again, the partnership announced included, again, a showcase of this initial vehicle managing a closed road course with no one behind the wheel. And drone video of the vehicle driving will make some drivers probably shudder a little bit. So, Tom, maybe you're going to be eligible to retire in 10 or 15 years. It might be right on time. But I know a lot of truck drivers that listen to this show right now, you're not in that situation. But you may be poo-pooing at me, but time will tell if I'm right or wrong. Next article is a little bit about the Internet of Things. We all have a growing number of gadgets in our homes. You know, I look at what I have here. I've got two Amazon Alexas. Well, I have an Echo and a Dot. The Dot is in the bedroom. I have a Google Home here. I have two Rokus, two Apple TVs. I have two Fire TVs, one Chromecast. I have two internet-connected televisions. I've got a clock that's internet-connected. What else? You know, just a lot of stuff that is connected via Wi-Fi to my network. And matter of fact, I was looking at my router the other day, and I think the total increase with my kids' tablets and their laptops and everything else, I think I counted 37 items that were was connected to my router here. And of course, I've got a number of things here in the studio that add to that count. Many of you at home may not have that type of account, but you might be surprised to see 10, 11, 12 devices. It could be your tablets, your laptops, your anything that's really connected. So the Internet of Things, when you spend $29.95 for a device that connects to the internet and can be updated and talks, calls home to the cloud or some sort, that device is definitely susceptible to hacking. Now, hacking, the crazy stories of hacking a teddy bear is pretty bizarre, but when we have devices that are relatively inexpensive and they make it super, super easy for the consumer to connect it to your network, when you consider light bulbs, refrigerators, pet feeders, these devices all are made up of the Internet of Things, and their security was never number one. And what will end up happening is because we're all buying more Internet of Things devices, And the consumers are going crazy about it. And you look at what I have here. I've got a lot of Internet of Things here in my home. And, you know, the Wi-Fi authentication. And matter of fact, as the show was starting tonight, I was just getting, I had to get ready to change the network on my laptop and had to punch in the password. I've got two Wi-Fis here in the house. It's not going to be surprising that cyber attacks on our home and our data is going to get to the point where someone could, and probably already are, rolling by houses looking for connected devices and then basically sitting outside and exploiting these Internet of Things devices to get access to our networks to backdoor their way into our private data in our system. So, you know, I've thought a lot about this over the last, over the last 6 months. And part of my strategy has been to make it harder for the things that are on my internal network to be accessed. So if someone did come in and get access to an Internet of Things device, that, you know, there would at least be a few roadblocks for them to get from point A to point B in my network. And by requiring authentication, setting up my router to basically force devices to not have access to other devices within the network itself. There's a lot of things you can do to isolate machines and computers that are important with important data on it. And, you know, most of us, we run our networks wide open at home, and to make it easy to access documents from one machine to the other, access pictures and all that stuff. So as we add Internet of Things devices, we all should start thinking about, you know, what if someone does come in via that $29.95 teddy bear that you bought your kid that is connected to the Wi-Fi in your house, which a hacker sits out and basically connects to that device and then gets into your network and, you know, goes into your banking data and starts downloading personal documents and all that. So these devices are hard to secure because they're cheap. They are cheap. They have weak security and they don't have double two-way authentication. So I don't think we've seen huge issues with this. We've seen some folks, hack IP-based cameras. And not only are they watching you via the IP-based camera, but they're using the IP-based camera for denial of service attacks, you name it. So we need to make sure that we're changing our default logins and passwords on all these devices. It's very important that you do that, that you have a unique username and password for every device, if that's at all possible. And just pay attention to what we're doing in our homes and make it harder that if someone does breach our network, that they may not just have free access to everything we have and download it and be off with your life, literally on a hard drive. So let's, all of you, I'd like you to think about this. And if you've come up with specific things within your household that you're doing to protect your internal network data and information, let me know. If we've got some IT guys, what are you guys doing at your homes? You know, are you bringing your work practices home, or are you so sick and tired of putting restrictions on machines? When you come home, do you run your internal network at your house wide open? You know, what are you folks doing to protect your network? So love to hear from you, but we have to watch this. This is stuff that's going to be, super serious as we move forward, and the more stuff we bring into the home to connect to our networks and potentially opening us up to hacking. Earlier, or late last year, an engineer at Google was working with their autonomous car division, left. Okay, Google, thank you. Go away. See, I say this and Google's listening over here. I don't know if you guys could hear that, but it was responding to something I said during the show. But so that just reminds you that devices are always listening, right? So Google, this gentleman, Travis Kalanick, No, excuse me. He's the CEO of Uber. Bada bing, bada boom. What was the guy's name? I think the guy's last name was Otto. I apologize if I'm wrong. But he left Google and formed his own self-driving car division called, it was basically, he went on his own. But what Google detected was before this guy left, he had basically downloaded, his name is Anthony Lewandowski. The 37-year-old engineer was on the Google car team. But basically they had determined that he had downloaded a large amount of data onto his personal laptop or onto a laptop and then wiped it. So Google was able to track, you know, the transfer of this data. Google seemed, according to this article over on Bloomberg, seemed to be content to sit on the information until December 13th, when a Google employee received an email from a supplier that was working on components for their LiDAR sensor. And basically, the company thought that they were replying back to Google versus this other startup, which ultimately the folks at Uber bought for $700 million. So the gentleman was acqui-hired basically they acquired the company and he came with it. And all of a sudden, you know, Uber's in the game of building autonomous vehicles. And what do you know, drawings and engineering drawings that were originally designed by Google had been reworked and put on, according to Google, put on design AutoCAD drawings, I would assume, that ended up back with the same supplier. So, you know, the supplier, I guess, didn't realize that this wasn't Google. And this guy got outed by their supplier. And Google threw the hammer. And Google has this policy, and they tell new hires at Google that the company will never sue a former employee for patent infringement. But this was just downright corporate theft. Well, Uber, it appears, may be throwing this guy under the bus in that Uber may say, we didn't know, it's on him. So this is a lawsuit that is probably going to cost, my prediction, will cost Uber huge. You know, they're going to end up spending a lot of money to fight this one. And we will see where this goes. But Otto was the name of the company. Otto's at Otto's San Francisco headquarters. They had 90-some folks that, again, were acquired by Uber for $700 million in company stock. But this is an amazing, amazing read. And boy, oh boy, talk about corporate espionage. I have a feeling Google's probably going to win this one, but it just goes shady stuff by the Uber team, you know, in my opinion. So I'll be prefaced that with my opinion, but, definitely, the fight is on. And the images that, Bloomberg put on their website is pretty classic. You know, like, okay, we're going to fight. So if you leave your employer, don't take the tech that you were paid for by your employer with you to another company. That's just wrong. All right. And I cannot believe it moment. Many of us have seen news reports where maybe in the, you know, after 9/11 or the Gulf War, you saw the Patriot missile battery doing amazing intercepts. And of course, there's Patriot missile batteries in Israel and all over the place to protect from incoming missile attacks. And it's a very effective, mobile, agile platform. The missiles themselves, that come out of a Patriot missile battery, which is normally made up of four missiles, cost $3.4 million a piece. So, again, they're designed to be an anti-air, basically an anti-missile platform, right? Anti-aircraft weapon ballistic missile interception system. And again, it's been around since the 80s. But apparently, in a military symposium this week, General David Perkins told the audience that one of our allies had successfully used a $3.4 million Patriot missile to destroy a quadcopter drone estimated to cost $200. Now, what kind of amazes me here about this, and let's just, you know, let's be real. You have a plastic quadcopter, right? Plastic. Not a lot of metal in that device. And any of you that know anything about radar will know that it's probably pretty hard to get a radar fix on a little plastic drone. Now, it's a testament to the Patriot missile battery that they were actually able to get this thing on radar, you know, and basically lock in on it and send this Patriot anti-missile battery at it. Where probably someone with a shotgun and a 50-cent buckshot, depending on how high this thing, could have took the same thing out. But to me, they got the job done, but you think about the cost to knock down this $200 drone. Well, let's just go to, you know, let's order 100 of these online, and if they're going to use a $3.4 million, you know, Patriot missiles to take them out, you can run their supply of Patriot missiles out pretty doggone fast. You know, this is not an unlimited supply. They don't have them stacked up in the back by hundreds and thousands. So, but I just thought it was total overkill. You know, if they were shooting down a unmanned, high performance military grade UAV, that's one thing. Is that's a, you know, it's a million for million dollar, you know, trade off. As far as expense goes, but when you use a $3.4 million weapon to take down a $200 drone, it makes you go, hmm. And I'd love to know who actually authorized the pulling of the trigger on that. Now, we don't know the full story. What was going on? What was the, you know, why did they have to get rid of that drone? Could have been. They could have been using the drone to target friendly forces, or, you know, our friendly forces on the ground. And maybe they were shooting mortars at him and using the drone as fire support. So maybe it did justify the utilization of the weapon. But I'm just amazed that they were able to actually hit the thing with, in first of all, get target acquisition on it, and then be able to put the missile on it. It to me is amazing. I'd like to see the video of that high motion speed video of the $3.4 million weapon blowing up the $200 drone. That would be cool, but it made me go, wow, because I just thought about the, you know, the kill process on that, on how, you know, that little plastic drone and then actually be able to get resolution on it. It's huge. So anyway, the article's up on Extreme Tech. I wouldn't have believed it, and I listened to the video to make sure that the general actually said that, and he did. And that must be a running joke in circles, but wow. Some time ago, we talked about a USB stick that would destroy almost anything in its path, from laptops, photo booth, kiosk, to even cars. The maker of the USB kit have created a more powerful version with a higher voltage and amp output. It has a 3 times faster pulse rate, of up to 12 times a second. It goes zap, 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 zap. And with a micro USB, USB-C, and lightning adapters for the USB kill This company claims to be able to kill iPhones, iPads, and other devices like phones, tablets, and digital cameras. The company says it's designed to test the surge protection circuitry of electronics to their limits. And in other words, its purpose is destroying expensive gear. So, pretty scary that someone could come with a device like this and just destroy lots of electronics in its path. All they can do is stick it in, and it fires, and you know, it's like a lightning strike to a computer or a tablet, and it toasts them. And all it takes is one high voltage arc, and that's it. You take out the components, take out chips. So pretty scary stuff that this is available to be bought on the street. Protect your gear, folks. Apparently, Google Home is playing ads for Beauty and the Beast. I'm not sure why it would do that, but recently the smart speakers users have noticed that the reply will give you a rundown of the upcoming action of Beauty and the Beast when you ask for summary of your day's events. It seems widespread beyond folks who pointed it out on Reddit, and appears regardless if you've shown interest in the movie or not. There is an update to the original article on this and saying that Google has pulled the advertisement after initially denying it. So a little bit of advertising out of control, but they got me to talk about it. So if you have someone in the family that hasn't seen Beauty and the Beast, I guess it's becoming available in movie theaters again, which I guess that's what Disney does. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Hey, Microsoft's silence over unprecedented patch delay is having some questions being raised. Last month, Microsoft took the unprecedented step of canceling Patch Tuesday. And, of course, that's the company's monthly release of security fixes for most of its stable software products. A move meant that customers had to wait 28 days to receive updates that fixed vulnerabilities that allowed hackers to completely hijack computers and networks. In other words, they had some patches they knew about. They missed Patch Tuesday, and you had to wait a whole nother month for it to come around. The last-minute move was more unusual because Microsoft made it a few days after an exploit code for a Windows 10 flyover was released into the wild, along with two other more serious vulnerabilities. So they're not saying what happened. They haven't come forward and talked about why they had to delay the release last month. Except doing some PR spin. So there's a lot of speculation of what's going on. Some rumor is that their build servers were down. They couldn't do an actual build of the release, which I find to be pretty incredible. And I would just kind of question that in its authenticity, maybe being fake news. But it is odd that they left people hanging for almost a month with that kind of a vulnerability that was out there. Now, why are you there? All right, let me... Japan today launched a new spy satellite into orbit to help keep an eye on the nation's unpredictable... North Korea's unpredictable activities. The information-gathering satellite, Radar 5, lifted off atop a Japanese H-2A rocket from the Takashima Space Center in southern Japan. I watched the... there's a video. It's all in Japanese. And I rolled up to about the 45-minute mark, or maybe about the 50-minute mark. And I was enthralled with... You know, we basically start counting down at 10, right? 10, 9, 8, 7. 6, we have ignition, 5, 4, major thrusters, 3, 2, 1, liftoff, right? Well, there's this guy, he's recording the launch from like a half mile away, and it's not even on a tripod, it's some dude with a camera, because he's wiggling all over the place, and all of a sudden you hear this huge voice, this Japanese woman's voice, counting down, which I think she's counting down from 100 in Japanese, not from 10. So, you know, and my Japanese counting is good enough to know that did she just start counting at 100 and go to 99? And it was bizarre. So if you get a chance and you want to hear this, go to the 48 or 50 minute mark in this video that'll be in the show notes from space.com. And then what's even more weird is at zero, she starts counting up. Ichi, ni, san, shi, go. You know, she starts counting up in Japanese. And I was just like, really? And it's this big, you know, it's like this big voice. It's weird. It's kind of like spooky weird. I don't know why they counted down from 100 and then why they start counting up afterwards. It's bizarro. But anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. I haven't played it for my wife yet, but I will and get her take on it. Hey, Uber's autonomous cars have drove 20,354 miles and had to be taken over at every mile, according to test documents. So about every 0.81 miles, a human had to intervene. So that stolen code that apparently or, you know, or in technology that they supposedly stole from Google is not working out so good. Alleged. Let's say alleged. Let's be careful to preface that so I don't get sued. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Also, if you get Gmail, if you're a Gmail user and you get a video that's embedded in a, or actually attached to a Gmail document or email, you can now preview the video attachment without downloading it. All right. In San Francisco, Airbnb has yanked 923 listings. Basically say that there was, they have this rule of single owner, single account type things. Yeah. In other words, you can, if you're a homeowner, you can only have one Airbnb property, and they found people that were had multiple. So to try to keep, you know, on a semblance of working with the San Francisco Housing Authority and all that, that they canceled 923 listings in San Francisco alone. And they've got to. They're trying to do this IPO and move forward. So we'll see what happens here. Hey, possible fifth-generation Apple TV spotted in developer logs. They're A firm is reported seeing Apple TV 6-2. The latest release is Apple TV 5.3. So it could be a new model. So I'm not surprised in that. That shouldn't come as a surprise. Also, everyone's freaking out about the proposed budget and the cuts to a variety of different industries. So let's just, as a not to go political on the show, but just remember... The president can submit a budget, but the Congress, and he's not the one that actually approves the budget. So that will go to the, you know, basically the legislature, and that they will, they'll work through it. We'll see what he does and how much he gets, but it looks like defense, big win, a lot of social programs, big loss. So I wish they would just cut everybody. That's what they need to do. Get the budget under control. But at least at this point, it doesn't look like the budget's going up. And I know not in any type of budget cuts, no one's going to be happy. No, there's going to be no winners overall. Also, how to securely dispose of an SSD? Well, interesting. I hadn't thought about this because I have never had to destroy an SSD. Just starting here recently within the last year to use SSDs in my personal computers. Didn't think about how I would destroy one. Well, apparently they say what you do is it's not like you can do write zeros and ones multiple times on it. It doesn't work like a hard drive does. So they say that you either have to shred it or number two, you format it. You then encrypt the drive. You format it again. Then you encrypt it and then you throw it in the trash. And they've got some suggestions on how you do that. So I thought, wow, that's cool. But, you know, if you drill 100 small holes in it, that probably will do it. But I'm sure what they're going to be selling soon is they're probably going to be selling shredders for SSDs. Or you'll be able to go someplace and pay to have your your solid state drive shredded. If everything goes right, you're going to have solid state drives for many, 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 many years before it needs to be replaced. I do want to talk a little bit, if you have any, you know, all of us are going to get old. And if we're married, one spouse is going to go before the other. Usually it's the man. The men never seem to last that long. It's maybe going to change with the changing work dynamic. But, you know, and I found when my grandparents got old, you know, they couldn't tend to themselves as well as they could. So they were getting Meals on Wheels a lot. And there is some, with the federal funding going on, there is some concern about it. But I just wanted to mention this, and I know this is non-tech related, but if you have had any family member that gets Meals on Wheels, while the meals may not be that great, matter of fact, my grandfather said it, most of it was, he used the S word, he liked the ability to just socialize with the people that were dropping the meals off, and that did more for him than the food did. So there's a social interaction type thing that happens with volunteers that deliver Meals on Wheels. So this is one problem I hope doesn't get the axe, because when we're all old and lonely and we can't cook ourselves our own food and they have someone bring us some, even though it might be one or two meals a week, at least we'll be able to talk to somebody, right? So I think that's important. Not everyone lives near their elders, and people that are older can get pretty lonely. So the social thing is important to them. All right, back to the tech. Piracy. The RIAA apparently asked Spinrilla, of course, remember, Spinrilla was recently sued in the coalition of record labels, including Sony Music, Warner Brothers, and Universal Music Group, filed a lawsuit against Spinrilla, accusing it of alleged copyright infringement. But it turns out they were using the detection software they recommended to remove infringing content, and those same music groups were asking Spinrilla to promote their artist content. So how can you follow the rules, and if you're asked to promote and then get sued, and like, this is like a double standard. So they've asked the judge to basically dismiss the lawsuit. I don't think the judge will probably not do that, but I'm sure they had to show some proof in this. And we'll see what happens with Spinrilla, whether or not they survive this or not. It'd be a good test, and it'll be interesting to read the court proceedings on this. City of Tacoma is going to pay $50, and if you're from Tacoma, you should let your city officials know you're not happy. City of Tacoma is to pay $50,000 to a privacy activist for over redacting the FBI Stingray non-disclosure agreement, while that exact agreement was already publicly available. He was able to get $50,000 out of him for in violation of some sort of rule in a Freedom of Information Act. So good on him, and naughty on the city of Tacoma. Many of us have been on YouTube and seen some of the nuclear weapon test videos that are on there. We've seen, I know that I've seen above ground, underground, Bikini Atolls, airdrop stuff. You know, it's just fascinating to, you know, this is as close as any of us want to get to a nuclear weapon explosion. And obviously there's a moratorium right now on weapons testing like that. We're not allowed to blow up nuclear weapons anymore, above ground, underground, in the air, in space. You know, the Russians enough and the United States have agreed not to do that. So, but if this is a scientist at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories, basically he's been digitizing over 10,000 video clips or film clips, creating during atmospheric and ground tests in the 50s. So far, around 4,200 films have been scanned. 400 to 500 have been reanalyzed, and around 750 of those have been declassified. An initial set of these declassified films, tests conducted by the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, were published today in or on LLNL's YouTube and in a playlist. And I went through some of these, and it's pretty amazing. But there's a good article about this process that they've been using at the lab at Lawrence Livermore to be able to what they've been using to do this analysis. I'm going to be honest with you. Our national labs are absolutely, for those of you that live in the United States, the national labs are an absolute national asset and treasure. I know individuals personally that work at a number of labs, and these folks have big brains. You know, they are the top of the class in science and engineering, and I mean big mad scientist brains. And we are very fortunate in this country to have the national labs and the work that they do across the United States. And if you work at a lab and whatever you may do, bravo for the work that you do. Most of, you know, in most folks have no clue what's going on at the national labs, because most of this work is, well, they publish a lot what they can. They turn over to industry. They're not allowed to be manufacturers. They develop stuff and they turn it over to industry, and whether having military or environmental or whatever type of application what they've developed has. And if you look at their charters, it's pretty clear on what they've been tasked to do. But you know, big brains at these national labs, and I'm glad a lot of those folks are on our side. And here you got this guy that he's recovering film, and you know, he's a rocket scientist, you know, so it's pretty awesome. How many of you have ever went to Cirque Soleil? I've been to some Cirque Soleil shows, and they are amazing. Get to Vegas. You know, the show you got to go see, if you have never been, it is Go See O. It is one of the most stunning shows that I have ever seen. Matter of fact, probably next time I go to Vegas, I'll probably go back and see. Oh, it's been a number of years since I've seen it. It's a stunning, simple show, but it's just beautiful. CNET has an article about underwater. What's under Cirque Soleil? What we don't get to see, and I'm always fascinated to see the stuff that's kind of, you know, behind the scenes. So a little bit of short video on that. I have that link up in the show notes for you. All right, and you know, I'm getting a little bit into photography and doing mostly video, so I've got a lot to learn on lens stuff. You know, and I'm still don't even try to even in this, you know, this size of a lens and this size of a sensor and all this stuff. Well, there's a new site for those of you that are, you know, kind of stupid like I am when it comes to lenses, and I'm learning. It's called Lens versus Lens. It helps you pick the right camera lens by comparing photos taken. So for those of us that are new to video or to DSLR photography, we may not know what to expect from a different lens. And this online tool is awesome. And I was playing around with it for about 15 minutes. And you just select the lens that you want. And let me see if I can bring this page up. So those of you can see that are watching can see this thing, and I won't show you the whole deal, but, is it going to load? I got to skip tour. I don't need the tour again. So here's the site for those of you that are watching. You pick, a picture, and then you pick the aperture or lens type. It's amazing. I mean, this is really, really cool. And you can play around with it, and you can Again, it's got a whole listing of lenses. Just let's see if I can do the pull down. And it's got every one imaginable, a whole stack of, you know, $100,000 worth of Canon lenses, Fujis, Leicas, Nikon, you name it, Olympus, Sony, what else? That's it. So you can basically compare Canon lenses one from another, and it's just brilliant. It really, really is. So and whoever came up with this is a simple genius. But anyway, it's at lensvslens.com. And this is definitely the pick of the day when it comes to articles that I've come across, okay? Have you bought your own personal.com? Have you bought your name? Have you bought donjones.com or Tom Jones or whatever your first last is? Have you bought that before? Has someone else got it? Do you have a unique name? Make sure you buy your own name so you don't get trolled. You know, there's obviously a lot of people with your same name combination. So if you haven't bought it already, maybe it's gone. And you might be too late, but, and you might even be able to buy it if a squatter's already picked it up, and you could pay anywhere from $50 to $1,000 for a name like that. But anyway, it's really odd. I'll be honest with you. There is some sort of synchronicity that happens because I don't listen to the radio. Maybe once in a blue moon, I'll turn the radio on when it's like top of the hour and I just want to catch 3-4 minutes of the news. And sometimes I hear about something or read about something and then bam, there's an article. I don't know if it's coincidence or if someone saw the article before me, but there's an article today over in io9.gizmodo.com that was came out at 2:15 Pacific Standard Time. And I heard yesterday a bunch of people talking about the Legion. And I haven't watched this series. They said it's gotten really weird. This morning I heard something. I had the TV turned on for a little bit. Someone talking about the Legion. And then, boom, found this article on IO9. It talks about the true identity of the Legion's big bad. And I don't know who this really is, this villain, because I don't know the series. But are any of you watching Legion? I guess it's based on a cartoon series. I'm definitely going to, and I don't even know what network it's on, but a lot of talk about they figured out who's playing the role of this villain that people are not real happy with. So, link will be up in the show notes. There's a spoiler there. They tell who it is. But if you've been watching Legion and you like it, let me know. I guess I'm going to, I don't know if it's on Netflix or where it's on, but I guess I'll find it and watch a few episodes. All right. I got a lot to go and I'm out of time already. YouTube is going to kill annotations to make way for more friendly mobile features. So if you're a YouTube user, there's some replacements. They have cards they want you to use. Also, Netflix is changing its rating system. The stars are gone. It's going to be an up-down dealio. I kind of like the stars because if it's a 3-star or below, I usually don't watch the movie. So I guess we're going to have to figure out how the thumbs up, thumbs down thing works. I don't know if this is a good change for Netflix or not, but I guess they made the decision to do so. Also, what would you do if you and your friend all both had a Sony phone? And your buddy says, hey, can I leech some power from you? You know, most of us are always looking for power for our phones or we're carrying a battery. So someone's saying, can I leech some battery or some power from you? We would probably say no. But Sony's making it available or has a patent for wireless charging between devices. You know, giving up power for our mobile devices, that's like asking to give up your firstborn, right? I don't know how this is going to be utilized very much, but the patent's out. There's a lot of scientists, they're losing their minds over gravitational waves. another article, how it may defeat new theories of gravity. So we'll keep watching what science is going to do there. No surprise here, GoPro has cut some more jobs. They've eliminated 270 full-time and open positions and chopped its, it's chopped 15% of its workforce and shut down its entertainment division. GoPro had 1,552 employees at the end of 2016. The latest cuts are expected to reduce full-year adjusted operating expenses to less than $495 million. That's about 18% below the company's previous projection of $600 million in expenses. So there's a lot of competition out there. And GoPro was a little slow on the uptake when other companies came on board. Also, if you're a gamer, and I don't know about this series either, but Netflix's new Iron Fist is debuting. I guess it's a spinoff from the Iron Fist video game that was popular when, you know, I don't even know the year it came out. But two guys that actually did a head-to-head matchup in Iron Fist back in like the early 2000s is kicking off this Netflix series. So two legendary Asian gamers are going to be going head-to-head again. So a lot of gamers are really excited about this. And I'm like, okay, I'm not a video gamer, but they're going to be doing this on Twitch. Spotify will restrict some albums to its paid tier. Spotify is trying to negotiate lower play rates. And in order to do that, they're going to slow the roll on new album releases to folks that are free. Only paid folks are going to get it right away. And basically, they're trying to negotiate with the labels to get, again, a lower royalty payment rate. And this is some of the leverage that they're using. BMW says self-driving car to be level 5 in 5 years. So this is 2017, 2022. BMW says they'll have a level 5. Wow. Amazing. We'll have to keep an eye out and when this comes. Cannot wait to just tell my car, take me somewhere. Looking forward to it. Qualcomm would like you to stop calling the Snapdragon processor a processor. I just want you to call it the Snapdragon. We talked about this at CES. They had a huge booth. The Snapdragon's in a lot of devices. But it's still a processor. But they're trying to rebrand it. It's what they're trying to do. Microsoft says it's blocking Windows 7 and 8 patches on the latest AMD Intel chips. So if you have a Intel Kaby Lake or AMD Ryzen installed in a Windows 7 or 8 machine, they're saying you got to upgrade to Windows 10 in order to get updates. I think this is pretty shady of Microsoft, but they must think that there's such a performance increase, they want you to go to 10. But that's the word on the street. All right, that's going to get me to the end of the show. Let me see what I've got here for commentary that's came in from people that have emailed the show. I'm already long. Let me bring this up. Was there anything that came in? Oh, I got an email from Nier. He said he was asking me about renewal codes for GoDaddy. There are no renewal codes for GoDaddy. I don't have any. If you find some, let me know too. All my codes are for new product purchases. But he says, Todd, I talked about in the last show the acquisition of MobileEye. And Nier replies to me, he says, Todd, I just completed listening to the podcast. This huge deal will go a long way here as Intel's intention, at least so they claim, is to move their automotive R&D center to Jerusalem, which will be a huge economic flux to our capital city. As you are probably aware, our Intel has a very large presence here with two or three design centers and a fab as well. All in all, I believe Intel employs a few thousand people here. As your recent purchases mentioned in the podcast, the flush 2.4-amp charger, I recommend being careful because this is a relative high wattage in terms of power dissipation, all within the cigarette lighter socket. It may get very hot depending on how efficiently the DC to DC converter was designed. I've had a relative low cost chargers that overheated and the plastic melted. I'll keep an eye on it for sure. As the SD card readers, try eBay. You'll find them at 75 cents, including shipping. I think I purchased for like $3 for $4 or $5 each or something. But Nir, thanks for being a long time. Nir's been with us a long, long time, and he's and he's always correcting me when I'm mispronouncing certain companies like Semantic and Waze. So Nir, thanks for keeping me on my toes. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. I'll be back with you on Monday for another podcast, for another show. And remember, I'm on an hour later now. So that's why our live audience is a little bit less, because most of you are in bed. And that's okay. This is why this is a podcast. You can listen to this thing when you want. But stay abreast of the show. Drop me an email in your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Aloha.